gentlemen, welcome to election week. Not just the damage report. This is sort of a big deal, and I hope that you had a good weekend because you're about to have a bad week, possibly. It's gonna be bad. The question is it like bad or is it like, oh, bad? Francesca, welcome to your bad election week. How's it going?
I slept an hour last night. I don't know why. I'm like, this is about right. This is as much sleep as anyone should get this week. We made it, John. This is what we've been working toward all year.
It is. We're remember finally here. When it was 100 days. That feels like a minute and a half ago.
Eight years ago.
I had just made my coffee, I think, when it was 100 days to go. But anyway, it's gonna be here. And Francesca is going to be joining me for hour three of TDR tomorrow, sort of. It's gonna be me, Francesca, and Ben Dixon. And I think we're gonna have some fun, hopefully, before the results come in. But this is the last pre-election news show that we're doing. And whether Trump wins, like legitimately, or Biden wins legitimately, or you know, America does what America does and just decides to give it to the person who didn't win again. This is like the future is gonna be so different no matter what. I almost don't want it to happen. I don't want to wait any longer, Francesca, but I just am so anxious about how it's gonna go.
Yeah, I think the sooner we let go of all expectations, just you know, put on the Frozen song, meditate, throw some tarot, but let it go. You know, like we gotta get there because there's nothing we can do other than vote, obviously, and you know, take the streets if necessary. But this is going to be a long and bumpy ride because, of course, it is, y'all. Look at this year. Do you think that the last 2 months of the year are just gonna be chill? No,
that's
not at all.
Yeah. The way, like maybe just, hey, the people actually kind of were bothered by the last few years and we get a new president. Or maybe Francesca and I find out if that fence going up around the White House is actually unclimbable. They say it is, but maybe that's just branding, you know? Let's find out together. Anyway, okay, as much as I don't want to do the news because every story we do brings us that much closer to the election, a lot has been going on. And so we're gonna transition to that. Everybody who's already watching, whether on Twitch or YouTube, thank you for joining us. Please hit the like button or whatever passes for a like button on your chosen platform. And as you send us messages and tweets and super chats and all that stuff, we'll be responding as we go. Oh, really fast, I did wanna let you know. On Friday, I said that you know, we have two t-shirts available for the damage report. We have the one I'm wearing right now, the damage report, and the one I'm gonna be wearing tomorrow, which is Dragon Squad. And this shirt, best-selling TYT shirt all year. And I thought, shouldn't the Dragon Squad shirt be up there too? And so I asked some of you to see if you could purchase it on Friday. And what do you know? It's now number two for this year, blowing away all of those other stupid lame shirts that I wear on a daily basis. But anyway, thank you to everybody who has supported the channel by doing that. Every shirt you buy brings us a little bit closer to Cenk knowing what Dragon Squad is. So anyway, with that, Francesca, why don't we do this thing? Right wingers are big fans of cosplay. Normally they cosplay as if they were soldiers or something. Sometimes it looks like they're cosplaying the Taliban. I'm not really sure. But this weekend they decided to do their best rendition of Mad Max by trying to apparently run a Biden-Harris campaign bus off the road. The FBI is now investigating this, by the way. It happened on Saturday. Many of these Trump supporters in their trucks with their Trump flags and their, you know, whatever flags were armed. And in Central Texas, they came upon this Biden-Harris bus and decided, you know what? Bus on road, good. Bus off road, better. And so they tried to make that happen. We're gonna show you a little bit of video right here of the event. Okay, somebody in the Twitch chat just reminded me of one of the titles for this group was Y'al-Qaeda. I like that. Anyway, so here's the thing. There you have them surrounding the bus. Turns out that when you try to sort of aggressively intimidate someone with your vehicle, it can go poorly, as a member of that train is going to realize in real time.
Running them out of Texas. It is hilarious. I'm about to run out of gas, which I'm sure some of you would love. Look at that. Oh my God.
Okay, so that was what we call an opportunity to learn. I have a feeling though, she didn't. But anyway, I don't know if the truck, the SUV that truck ran into was another member of the convoy or some random person who was just trying to, you know, drive somewhere. But they did crash into it, which is ironic considering that they were doing everything they could to scare people around them into thinking they were about to crash into them. Ironically, neither Joe Biden nor Kamala were actually on that bus. But anyway, what do you think about what you just saw?
I mean, look, the Taliban did endorse Donald Trump, so a very on brand. I mean, it is actually scary and enraging at the same time. I believe that the white truck that was hit was part of the Biden-Harris convoy that was in back of them. Oh. They were clearly trying to protect them. It seemed like they were. If they weren't, then they quickly were just like, I'm protecting this bus. And that big, big truck was trying to get between that white car, the white SUV, and the bus itself. And I believe there were later a lot of images of that white SUV with like all the scrape marks on it, you know, very yeah. like grease, you know, and being run off the road kind of thing. But it's enraging because it's so dangerous and it's so aggressive, but it's also enraging because it is such a perfect metaphor for Democrats not actually fighting back. And I don't mean flip over the bus and, you know, just, you know, go an ape, but like you're a giant bus. Yes, there are SUVs, but you bigger than the SUVs. You could start meandering, you could start swerving, you could get a little loosey goosey, go back and forth. People have to recognize, you know, who's gonna get hurt, they're gonna get hurt. Like, I'm just saying, like, instead it was just like, okay, well, I guess I'll slow down. Like, it is scary. I'm not saying that there was a better way, but like, at least muscle up a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not necessarily there. I don't know who was driving that bus, and they certainly didn't sign up for, you know, the Fury Road. But I think, you know, with all of these celebrities coming out and supporting Biden and Harris, let's get Charlize Theron on that bus. Let's war rig up the campaign buses. I want spikes coming out of the tires. I want flamethrowers. I want guys on little swingy poles.
Yes.
Let's get some defenses in place because they love, like, we see this and we think, oh, those are insane people who are hoping to, at the very least, terrorize people, if not actually injure or kill them. And think about if you saw this in literally any other country. You know, if you saw some random hit on BBC of people in Pakistan doing this, what would you think about the people trying to run that bus off the road? You know what I think? The exact same thing I think here. I'm gonna be consistent. But anyway, they see that. And they love it, as we're gonna transition to that in just a moment. But all that we just saw there has like effectively the official approval of the Republican Party there.
Insanity. I mean, you're absolutely right. If it happened in another country, I mean, also if it happened to Republicans, if it was a Trump bus and just like three Priuses, you know, just drove slightly too close to it, you know, the entire campaign would have lost their mind, right?
Mm-hmm. I think the technical term for a group of Priuses is a vegan. But anyway, okay, so here's the thing. Do you remember how they responded when someone was rude to Sarah Huckabee Sanders in a restaurant? This is uncivil. Those lefties, they don't appreciate what America is. How could they do this? Oh yeah, run that bus off the road. That's funny. I love that, America. That's liberty, baby. It's weird, the hypocrisy there.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of Un*** the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
So over the weekend, a bunch of red hats decided to get in their far larger than necessary trucks and try to run who they thought was Joe Biden and Kamala Harris off the road, potentially injuring them, potentially killing them. They didn't really care. They're effectively domestic terrorists. Donald Trump, hearing about this, is going to respond basically exactly like you'd predict.
It is something. You see the way our people, they, you know, they were protecting his bus yesterday because they're nuts. So his bus, they had hundreds of cars, Trump, and the American flag. That's it. You see Trump and American flag. Do you ever notice when you see the other side? I don't even see much of the other side. You don't see any. They have no spirit. They have no enthusiasm. They have no nothing.
Okay, so yeah, did you see our people? They were protecting it because they're very nice. That's, you know, let me be the millionth person to say that's how a mob boss on TV talks. That's how, you know, an insane person talks. And that's just a random line that he throws out so that his white supremacist base will give him a little bit of applause. Yeah, they were intimidating the bus to protect it because they're very nice.
Yeah, I mean, it is hard if he does lose, if he does ever leave. You know, we have to think about how we un-Trump the country, and that is a whole other can of worms. But I think more than that, and part of that is remembering that he has capitalized on a racism and an anger and a bigotry and a hatefulness that is already and always existed. And he has never once tried to dampen that. He has never once. I remember in 2015, lead up to the election, when I think it was a Mexican immigrant was beaten by two MAGA supporters, and they were like, yeah, that's from Donald Trump kind of thing, right? This was like one of the first recorded, and we know there were many more incidents of hate crimes. One of the first incidents of hate crimes, Trump was asked about it and he said, well, I have very passionate followers.
Yeah,
very
passionate. I think it might have been New York, I think. Okay. I'm not sure. Maybe New
yeah,
York, maybe
I don't
New
know where it was, yeah. But I mean, it was like, it's just like, oh, that's that is what who he was. That is who he still is. And if you, no matter what side of the spectrum you are on, whether you were a Trump voter, whether you're a Republican, whether you were a lefty, he was like, he's not that bad. And he's just saying it because I think a lot of people on both sides of the aisle believe that. No, he is telling you who he is. He's still that same guy. He likes it. He wants to see more of it.
Yeah, and he knows that he can say that because his base wants the same. They openly say they want our tears, but let's keep it real. They want our blood. They do. There's no line. Yeah. I know we're being hyperbolic. Oh, it's bad. You say it's fascist. No, there's no line. He's joking about Gretchen Whitmer's attempted kidnapping. He's perfectly fine with what you just saw there, the attacks. Cesar Sayoc, did he ever admit that perhaps he needed to tone down his rhetoric? No, not at all. No. Coast Guard, a terrorist that was stopped. No, there was no reckoning for that. None for any of this. And there never will be. And you could have Don Jr. going on election day and gunning down the squad. And Kayleigh McEnany would be explaining how it's an Antifa plot on Fox and Friends the next morning. There is no line where they will admit that they have gone down a dark fascistic path. They're just not going to, because that's where power lies for them. And thankfully, nobody on that campaign bus was hurt. None of these staffers or volunteers were killed in this event. But you don't think that the next time a bus is rolling through some town, they're not gonna do the exact same thing? They now think, hey, if I do that, Trump will cheer for me. He'll tweet this, for instance. He tweeted out with some kind of music over it, "I love Texas," when he saw that Biden-Harris. It's a video of them being awful. Surrounded. They want, you know, effectively a Morton Joe to wink at them out of the window of his rig. That's what they want. And they will do whatever is necessary. Hurt, kill whoever is necessary to get that.
Yeah.
He's tweeting, by the way, really fast. He tweeted afterward, "These patriots did nothing wrong." A story that he quote retweeted about the fact that the FBI is investigating it. Remember, they did crash one car into another. I think technically that's wrong in some way. I don't think you're supposed to do that on the highway. He says this story is false about the fact that the FBI is investigating them. I don't know what the word false means there. The FBI apparently is investigating them, but he wants you to know that he doesn't think they did anything wrong, because there's nothing wrong you can do if it demonizes the left or people you think are associated with the left. Remember, the Kenosha shooter is the victim hero. To them. He's a hero, effectively. He's a hero. There's no line.
Yeah. And I think, and we have to, it's hard because we have to keep on telling ourselves that the false equivalence that they keep on trying to draw is completely ridiculous, and it doesn't exist. I mean, the entire equating of Antifa or BLM with any kind of white supremacy, we know that's false. And we have to constantly reiterate that, because we are being gaslit perpetually. And John, I gotta be honest with you. My response to being gaslit for 4 years, if and when this president ever is out of office, is to gaslight MAGA people and say he was never president. That is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. Trump who? Oh yeah, that guy, he ran. He ran for election. Now, of course, we have to deal with all the consequences of what Trump has wrought. I'm not saying we don't. I'm not saying, like, from a neoliberal perspective, I'm gonna forget. From a moderate Dem perspective, I'm gonna forget. But just for the MAGA folks, Trump who? Trump. Weird. Good name.
It's a weird name. That doesn't sound real, though.
Strange name. The thing, yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's funny, and I want to see that, but you know, there's like a 5% chance that the Q people say after the inauguration that he was just pretending to be president for a few years to flush out the pedos. He was never actually president. What are you, a sheep? You think he was president?
And then he successfully flushed one out by leaving office.
Oh my God. Look, Trump giving the nod of approval to the people trying to run a Biden campaign bus off the road, sort of expected. If you didn't expect that, you honestly need to wake up to what America is like these days. But also, right-wing media and other right-wing politicians, many of whom are gonna try to present themselves when they run for president again in just a few years as being the reasonable ones, they're giving it their approval too. Here's Marco Rubio.
Listen, I saw yesterday a video of these people in Texas. Did you see it? All the cars on the road with we love what they did, but here's the thing they don't know. We do that in Florida every day.
So I'm sure he thinks, oh, Trump is crazy, and I'm just like keeping my head down, and someday I'm gonna pop up and be like, I fought against him. No, you did the exact same thing as him, and you just wanted to get, for the same reason. He's on that stage. He wants those insane white supremacists in their red hats to clap for him. And so he said what he had to do to get them to clap. And he signed on to that attack in the same way that Donald Trump did.
Oh yeah, Marco Rubio can sit on it and rotate. I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. No. Marco Rubio, no, not gonna, nope. You don't get any of my emotional energy. What I will say is the following. BLM demonstrators who are rightfully protesting the murder of unarmed black people across this country systematically have been treated to the same thing that the Biden-Harris bus was treated to in Texas. Let's not forget the amount of crazed MAGA people who have run their SUVs straight up through protests and have killed people, have injured people, have terrorized people. So who are the terrorists? And again, with the gaslighting, just let's remember that, and let's hope that if he does ever win, if this happens, if we make it through the next 3 months, and Biden and Harris are president and vice president, that they don't forget who the most vulnerable, who are in the crosshairs, because they're not gonna be driving a campaign bus anymore. They might be safe.
Yeah.
But the demonstrators and the people who are really are fighting fascism through peaceful protest, through organizing, through demanding their rights, those folks are still going to be victimized.
Yeah. And the people who are doing the stuff we see on tape today are still gonna be out there, whether civilians or not. I mean, if we're talking about vehicular attempted terrorism, like nobody does it like cops trying to run people down at protests all throughout the country. Marco Rubio, he likes what he saw. You know who likes it even more? Jeanine Pirro. Take a look.
And what's even more stunning is what was just trending, and that is there's a Biden bus and it's surrounded by pickup trucks on a highway, all with Trump signs. I mean, it is ordinary Americans just taking this election into their own hands and getting out there and being real clear on what they stand for.
I mean, that's the most honest she's ever been. They're taking the election into their own hands and being clear what they stand for. Yeah, it's very clear. I think it's incredibly clear to everyone watching this what they stand for. They're 100% opposed to democracy because they perhaps rightly have made the calculation that the policies that they push for aren't popular. The values they hold aren't popular. And so democracy is not going to result in them gaining power, but maybe something else will, and they're pursuing that something else. And if you have to crack a few eggs along the way, they seem perfectly willing to do that. She was giddy from what she saw. Newt Gingrich, remember he was supposed to be one of the reasonable old school Republicans before Trumpism? He thinks it's awesome. He thinks it's hilarious. They all do.
Yeah, no, look, if it was discovered that Jeffrey Dahmer was MAGA, Jeanine Pirro would be like, I mean, it was amazing what he did, you know, just a proud American, just taking acid and burning off the genitalia of the terrorists. And then he ate it like a patriot. And then I'm sure it was good because it was patriotic. You know what I mean? I am a scary soccer mom and you do not want to get in my SUV because suddenly we're going to be running behind a Biden-Harris bus and you just wanted to ride home.
And mama's going out in a blaze of glory.
Jeanine Pirro has been inciting violence for as long as Jeanine Pirro has been on Fox News. And the best part about it is she reads off of like a prompter, which is fine, but like you can tell that she's reading all her like horrible incitement of violence, like, and we will drink the blood of the Antifa. Like, this is another thing, you know, yes, Green New Deal, yes, Medicare for all. Those are going to be long roads. Also, media reform, for the love of God. Like, when do we hold Fox News accountable? How can we hold Fox News accountable? I mean, obviously we can't even get our minds around, you know, trying to hold big tech accountable, right? But like, this is not the first time, right? Gabby Giffords, I mean, like, that is when it started. This is all under, that was under McCain, when supposedly, oh yeah, he was a good Republican. Well, guess what? They were still inciting violence against Democrats and people took it seriously and carried it out. Yeah. So again, with the false equivalencies, we know who's been targeted systematically. They've been Democrats, they've been progressives, people on the left, people organizing, grassroots people, people of color, LGBTQ people. We know who is being targeted. When is there accountability from these blowhards?
Exactly. Exactly. I would say never. In addition to the whole issue with the Biden bus down in Texas, you know, while we've been spending the last few days in advance of the election trying to get people registered and out there to vote, seemingly everyone with a valid driver's license and an American flag has just been blocking roads in support of Trump, I guess. You got this in New Jersey, Trump vehicle convoy shuts down the Garden State Parkway. It blocked it for some reason, I guess. You had this tweeted out from someone saying, I hope AOC isn't using the Whitestone Bridge today. There's a lot of traffic. And I think we actually have a little bit of that video so you can see them stopping their cars to block this bridge. I I don't get what the point of that, but I did like AOC's response to that tweet that called her out, saying, "I took the frog's neck, heard there was a pileup of chumps on the White Stone." That's a good response. I love AOC. Anyway, okay, so really fast. This seems like a weird way to campaign. I mean, in particular, blocking the streets just to show support for Trump, especially after you've been demonizing protesters if they ever block a street in opposition to police brutality. You're now blocking it so that people will have to look at your flags? That's weird. Y'all are weird. I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you are behind in the polls, but you got a big truck, it's the same reason that you got a giant truck to begin with. It's not because you're a contractor or a hardworking immigrant who you hate. It's because you got a little one. And just like you're polling small, it is small, and you're overcompensating. So you're trying to do a lot with a little. I get it. And again, no disrespect to. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be like anatomically discriminatory at all, but we know what giant trucks usually indicate. And look, I want to just, for the anxiety and for the people who are rightfully worried, just remember there are more of us than there are of them. Remember what the summer looked like. Remember the amount of protests around the murder of George Floyd. There are more of us than there are of them. They're just loud and they have big trucks.
Exactly. And they really love those flags. And they really, you know, the funniest thing is, so they said that they had a problem with protesters. Clearly they don't. They're okay with stopping traffic. They just think that you shouldn't actually have anything meaningful you're pushing for in doing so. And also, they hate identity politics. What is that that you're seeing there? Is that a, what are they protesting in support of Medicare for All, the Green New Deal, some sort of policy? No, it's just their Trump fans. That's it. Like, look, I get that you can like a politician. Okay, obviously, big fan of Bernie Sanders, massive fan of AOC, but it's related to what they want to do. Like, I want them to get in office to have more power so that they can do those things. This is just a white identity cult. That's all it is. Yep. And the reason I show this mainly is that, you know, they're out there because they're looking at the polls, and they can say that they're fake all they want, but they know what it looks, at least this way, the way this thing is going. But those people are still going to be Americans after this week. And do you think anyone in those convoys is going to look at the results and say, they got us this time? I guess it's the Dems' turn. We'll get them in 2024. I don't think they're going to respond in that way. And it will be way better, you know, to get him out of office and have someone reasonable that we can push on a bunch of issues. But all of those people are still going to be out there. And whether they hold on to this love of Trump for the next 4 years, or, you know, once he doesn't have power, maybe it wanes a bit, they're going to be looking for a replacement strongman.
Yeah.
And I don't know which form it's going to come, if it's going to be someone like a Tom Cotton who wants to just deploy the military everywhere around the world, or if it's, you know, an ideological grifter like Tucker Carlson who understands how to parlay white supremacy into support amongst Republicans. But they are going to be waiting for someone else that they can wave that flag for.
Yes. And when a massive recession caused by a failure to act by the Trump administration during a global pandemic hits us, let's see who the Republicans are going to be blaming, even though they've been the ones withholding any more aid and assistance to small businesses, to unemployed people around the country, any more stimulus checks. They're going to blame Democrats. Of course they will. They'll say, this is your economy, clearly not understanding the thing that they praise and sacrifice bodies to every single day, and the way that it takes a while for the economic impact to be seen, right? Trump inheriting a booming economy after 8 years of Obama. I will say this, that I think a lot of people are turning and will turn on Trump, especially if he loses so handily. And we know it's not Fox News, maybe it's the damage report. Are there spaces, are there places we can turn folks who are starting to be critical of maybe the haze that they were in for these 4 years? Can we handhold them? And you know, honestly, I don't think it's everyone's job to handhold some of these folks. I think some of them are scary and racist. That's why I believe that pretty much only white men over 6 feet can interview MAGA supporters and get away with it. Like all gas, no brakes, Jordan Klepper, John Iadarola maybe.
Look, I gotta give it to Emma Vigeland. She's done some of the best Trump supporter interviews ever.
That's very true. Yeah,
outside of Emma Vigeland, you're gonna wanna have backup.
That's absolutely true. But yeah, but it's like, it is sad that they're going, I mean, it's not sad, but it's like the reality is, I think, yes, some will hold tight to it and others will just be like, oh, what? That wasn't me. Look over there. I didn't even like him, whatever.
Yeah, they do want a winner. You know, they want it so bad that they're willing to believe that Trump is a winner in general terms. But it's going to be a little bit harder to deny when he's, you know, hanging out in Mar-a-Lago instead of the White House. He's still going to be on Twitter. He's still going to be calling into Fox and Friends literally every day. He is not going away. But let's take away his power. That would be a nice start. A study has come out showing that the series of Trump super spreader campaign rallies that we've joked about for the past few months indeed did lead to people getting coronavirus. This is a study conducted by 4 Stanford University economic researchers. They determined that across 18 rallies, the bulk of which took place over the past summer, quote, ultimately resulted in more than 30,000 incremental confirmed cases of COVID-19 and likely led to more than 700 deaths. And this is the sort of story that on its face seems so crazy, so unthinkable, so dark that you sort of have to knee jerk respond by saying that can't be true. And yet there's a lot of good reason to believe that it is true. Let's go through just a little bit of their evidence. The study examined 18 counties that hosted Trump rallies in locations such as Tulsa, Oklahoma, Phoenix, Arizona, and Winston-Salem, North Carolina, held between June 20th and September 22nd. It then compared the rate of post-rally COVID-19 infections in the host counties to that of comparable counties that did not host a rally. So they found counties that were demographically similar in a number of ways, and then they compared the two, with Trump's rallies sort of operating as natural experiments, effectively.
My God.
And remember, thousands of people would show up to these. They would stampede over each other. They wouldn't wear masks. Some of them, although the minority, some were indoors, most were outdoors, but they all had large amounts of people. And the authors say, for the vast majority of county matching procedures we employ, our estimate of the average treatment effect across the 18 rallies implies that they increase subsequent confirmed cases of COVID-19 by more than 250 per 100,000 residents. They extrapolated that figure to the entire sample, concluding that it had led to those thousands of new infections and likely hundreds of deaths. And look, we've been expecting this from the very beginning. We know of at least one very notable person who died as a result of it, who is a big Trump fan at one of those rallies that they looked at in Tulsa. So I guess we can't be too shocked. Although, you know, good luck on getting any of the red hats to accept any of this research, Francesca.
I just want to say that if Trump does win, I want a taxidermied Herman Cain to appear at the inauguration. I expect him to speak. I expect him to be an animatronic staple of the White House upon entry. That's just what I would like from this administration that clearly didn't care about one of its surrogates. Yeah, this is obvious. This is obvious that this was going to happen. These are super spreader events. I'm only minimally glad that it's not colder, because they would definitely have held more rallies inside had it been colder.
Yeah.
And you're almost like a little bit of a like, look, thanks for holding it outside, even though people are freezing to death. But of course this was going to happen. Of course. And this is what love is, dude. Like, if you're willing to die for a politician, that's love. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's not a presidency. It's not it's a cult, but it is love.
Yeah. I Bernie's cool. I wouldn't let Bernie choke me to death. I wouldn't. I'll get back to you on AOC, but I'm not letting Bernie choke me to death. I'll say that. Like, I support politicians. I don't drink the cyanide flavored Kool-Aid for politicians.
You know how much Republicans want to be choked out by AOC? Oh, Republicans are like, yes. Like Ben Shapiro would like nothing more. Please choke me out. I would appreciate it like nothing more than to be choked out by AOC. I hate you so much. I'm gonna yell socialism as you choke me out. But and yes.
How dare she wear fancy clothes and look so good? How dare she? Anyway.
How much did that blazer cost?
Oh, okay.
Where's your stickin' spindle? Anyway, Holy Roller said that Trump is the Johnny Appleseed of COVID. Yeah, that's the thing. And I'm reacting with my defense mechanism, which is to sort of make a joke out of it or whatever, or what passes for a joke from me. She's making the real jokes. But think about that. 700 deaths, maybe they're a little bit high, maybe they're a little bit low, but think about that, 700 families effectively who have lost someone. And they may not even know. Some of them may suspect, some of them may know that these people who are going to these rallies are probably being really unsafe in general, but those families have been wrecked. No family gets to lose a person to COVID and think, well, it's not so bad because we've got Trump. It becomes real for you. They weren't flown to Walter Reed. They didn't get the monkey meds. They weren't saved. Like, it is the same for them as for us. Everything else about COVID is different. They don't care about it. It's fake. It's made up until your relative dies.
Yep.
Until they waste away in a hospital and you can't go near them and then they're dead.
But
then it becomes
so
very real.
John, think about that. That is such a perfect explanation for the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, the difference between a conservative and a liberal, the difference, right, between progressives and extremists. It is exactly that. It's, I don't have empathy or care about my fellow American, human, community, family member, really, until it hits me. I am see no evil, hear no evil. Until it hits my family. Oh yeah, yeah. Gays don't deserve the same rights as everybody else. Oh, then my daughter is gay. You know, like it's the same thing everywhere. Like it's so small-minded. It's like the stupidest way to understand the world. Right? And you can kind of draw parallels to things like fiscal conservatism and not wanting to pay more taxes. How small-minded and selfish are you? Don't you understand like the health of like an entire community and an entire country also impacts you? Don't you understand that when you pay taxes, that the education getting better in your community actually benefits you, right? Like, don't you understand? Or do you just wanna like hunker down with your gun and keep your money and then just, you know, shoot at anyone who comes on your property? Like, this is a worldview, and you're seeing the extreme of it when it comes to COVID. You guys, 100,000 cases in a day in the US on Friday. We broke our own record. We broke the one day record that India held, like something like 98,000. We broke it on Friday. It's getting worse.
Yeah, and you really have to give it to America because India has like four times the population of America and we were able to pass them. Yeah, what is that gonna look like in a couple of weeks? And Trump, by the way, you know, to your point about thank God it wasn't colder, he's not stopping those rallies. All throughout election week, he's gonna be doing rallies. If there's weeks of challenges, he's gonna be doing rallies. It's gonna get colder and colder and colder. And then you get to make the great decision. Do you go to the indoor Trump rallies where you're even more likely to get COVID than otherwise? Did you go to the outdoor ones where they leave you to die from hypothermia afterward? We're not even covering that. They did it a couple more times over the weekend. They just left their people to suffer and potentially die in the parking lot. You're not supposed to be able to kill your supporters and still win elections. I don't know exactly what the founders were thinking, but I'm pretty sure that if you'd asked them, they thought that killing your supporters was a disqualifier in a democracy. They must have assumed that at some point. They should have codified it. They really should have planned ahead on that one.
Are they still making people sign NDAs?
What
are they just signing it in like
at the rallies?
Like at the rallies, right? Like that they will not.
I don't know.
I'm sure they're just like lick here to say that, you know, you don't hold us responsible. Something like that. I don't know.
I don't want it. Breaking news over the weekend from Axios. Trump might try to steal this thing. I was shocked to find this out. It's a good thing I was refreshing Axios over the weekend. But anyway, look, they have sources. So good work by Jonathan Swan, I guess. President Trump has told confidants he'll declare victory on Tuesday night if it looks like he's ahead, which is very much in air quotes, according to three sources familiar with his private comments. That's even if the Electoral College outcome still hinges on large numbers of uncounted votes in key states like Pennsylvania. What do you mean that's even if? No, that's what it would be to circumvent, is those large numbers of uncounted votes in key states like Pennsylvania. And by the way, in addition to Axios's three sources familiar with his private comments, I would refer you to tens of thousands of people familiar with his public comments, because he's been saying it for months now. This is breaking news.
No.
I guess. I think the news is finally broken. But anyway, let's go to just a little bit of video of those private comments. Here's one talking about ballots in Pennsylvania. It's a doozy. Hold on to your butts.
Because it can only lead to one thing, and that's very bad. You know what that thing is. I think it's a very dangerous, terrible thing. And I think it's terrible when we can't know the results of an election the night of the election in a modern day age of computer. I think it's a terrible thing. And I happen to think it was a terrible decision for our country made by the Supreme Court. I think it was a terrible decision for our country. And I think it's a very dangerous decision, because you're going to have one or two or three states, depending on how it ends up, where they're tabulating ballots and the rest of the world is waiting to find out. And I think there's great danger to it. And I think a lot of fraud and misuse can take place. I think it's a terrible decision by the Supreme Court. A terrible decision. Now, I don't know if that's going to be changed, because we're going to go in the night of, as soon as that election's over, we're going in with our lawyers. But we don't want to have Pennsylvania, where you have a political governor, a very partisan guy. And we don't want to have other states like Nevada, where you have the head of the Democratic clubhouse as your governor. We don't want to be in a position where he's allowed to every day watch ballots come in. Gee, if we could only find 10,000 more ballots. Because we're doing great in Nevada, we're doing great in Arizona, we're doing great all over. But if you take Nevada or Pennsylvania, and everyone knows what happens in Philadelphia, you don't have to say it, but I've read about it for years, and I don't think it's fair that we have to wait a long period of time after the election. If people wanted to get their ballots in, they should have gotten their ballots in long before that, a long time.
Okay, so as you all know, if you're watching this, they did. They did two things to set up the whiny rant that you just saw. One, they decimated the post office as much as possible to make it so that the mail takes a long time to get there. So even if you mail your thing a week before, you can't guarantee that it's actually going to make it there day of. And the second is, they, on the state level, the Republican Party tried to make it impossible for these states to count the votes before day of in as many states as possible. So they made it so that the ballots would show up late. They made it so that the counting would start late, and now they're complaining that the votes are coming in late and that the count is going to start late. I love it when a plan comes together sort of situation with the Republicans there. Anyway, Francesca, what did you think? He's just saying he's going to try to stop those votes from being counted in Pennsylvania. Perfectly valid votes from being counted.
I mean, he's so gauche about stealing elections. Like, Republicans are obviously used to stealing elections, but he's just saying it outright. And it's just honestly very tacky and very on brand, because that is how Republicans win. They can't actually win, so they suppress the vote, they take away voting rights, and now they just openly try and steal it. And that is why he is lawyering up, of course. The most litigious president we've ever had is lawyering up, and he is a mob boss now, putting the squeeze on all Republican governors. And look, man, I want 20 years of my life back ever since Gore, in air quotes, lost the election, ever since SCOTUS threw the election to George W. Bush. 2.5 wars and change wars later, trillions of dollars of debt later, and we've got a fascist on our hands. So no, if you think that the American people are gonna let this descend into some Brooks Brothers riot, Trump truck riot, no. Roger Stone is not gonna get one over on us this time, okay? And so, like, it's just gonna be a no from me. It's gonna be a no from the American people. And it's just incredible though that like it is so obvious. Look, I don't even know, John, if he's gonna be up in the poll. I don't know if he's gonna be up at all at anywhere. They're gonna be like, well, for about 15 minutes in Miami-Dade County, we were up. Ergo, I win. It's like that's how granular they might have to get to claim any kind of victory. But we're gonna see lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit in state after state after state. So like, tug in.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to see what the Supreme Court does. We're gonna see what we have to do based on what the Supreme Court does. Do we have to initiate the purge? I don't know. Stay tuned. Again, non-climbable fences. You say that. Anyway, but in terms of granularity, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because like what he's saying there is, because he's being asked about Pennsylvania generally, is we can't let those late ballots be counted. Only ballots counted on Election Day count. But remember, I've been trying to prep everyone that the idea that there's gonna be the red mirage, that's the day of count, that will then have a blue shift as a result of all the votes being counted, that is true in a number of states. But it's not true in some states. Some states are going to announce the pre-counted early ballots. That theory could result in a blue mirage and a red shift. And I have a feeling they're going to be able to have the sudden mental dexterity to, in some states, ban the counting of votes after Election Day. And then in other states like Texas say, well, no, we gotta get all the votes counted. We gotta wait until the last minute. Get ready for that. The red hat heads are gonna be spinning around to follow the legal argument for that. But it's gonna happen. Will it succeed? I don't know. It's looking really good for Joe Biden. They've got thousands of lawyers out there, but so does Joe Biden. Joe Biden says he's not gonna let Trump steal this election, but he's still a Democrat, an old school one at that. And I still remember Al Gore. Just prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. And there's a lot of great organizations that are getting ready for rapid response protests and organizing and all of that. So I would clear your schedule as much as possible. I have writing group on Wednesday nights. I'm writing a fantasy novel. I've set it aside for this week. That is a sacrifice I'll make for American democracy. Everybody get ready to make such an epic sacrifice as that.
Yeah, I mean, there is the silver lining for me is Republicans effed up. You know, it does seem like they have played it well. Just when their party thought it had to pivot to actually reach out to Black and Latino voters, they were like, nope, we're just gonna go all in on white identity politics. And it's worked. I mean, look, they've got three Supreme Court justices that we should absolutely either impeach or expand the courts so that we can, minimize their impact. But I was just gonna read off a couple stats. Like I was looking at this pollster I follow, Tom Bonier, and he says 23.9 million Americans who didn't vote in 2016 have already voted. And these are people who didn't vote in 2016. 7.8 million of these voters were voting for the first time in their lives. Texas, more people in Texas have voted already than have ever voted in any state or any election other than California, because we're so big. So that's something like 9.6 million votes have already been cast in Texas. And just one more for you to just sort of lighten the mood. Mm-hmm. More Latino and Asian voters have already cast a ballot in Georgia than did in the entirety of the 2016 election. So there is record turnout from young people, from Asian Americans, from Latinos. It is huge. So take heart that they're going to try and steal this, but there are more of us than there are of them. And that history and the long arc of it is absolutely on our side.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. And you know, I saw in Pennsylvania, at least as of whenever that number came out, like a day or two ago, it was that there was more than a million more Democratic mail-in ballots than Republican Party ID'd mail-in ballots. So think about how much they want to not count any of those.
Yes.
A million votes that are gonna go heavy for Biden flooding in. They don't want that at all. And so how would they stop that? Well, state Supreme Court's a great place to start, but inevitably it might be the Supreme Court. And Donald Trump is being very clear about that, as you'll see.
If we win on Tuesday, or thank you very much, Supreme Court, shortly thereafter, if we win.
Dang.
He's just saying it. we're gonna do a coup. He's just saying it.
But this is, it's so funny because we've seen this Trump strategy with the Supreme Court time and time again. With like, I think it was the asylum, I'm not gonna remember exactly, but there've been multiple suits that have been brought to the Supreme Court, cases that have been brought by the Trump administration. And the Supreme Court's basically like, yeah, we would rule in your favor, but you're being so open about it. And like your language isn't flowery and cagey and coded enough.
Yeah.
Ergo, no, but like come back to us and like, you know, have like a, take another pass at the writing and we might say yes. And I feel like this is the same situation. It's like, yes, he's nominated all of these corrupt Machiavellian former Bush, you know, Bush v. Gore justices or judges, but, or, you know, lawyers, whatever, but like he is being so open about it that maybe they're like, oh gosh, you know, when you're asked like that, it's just kind of tacky, you know, the gauche-ness.
Maybe
is what I'm
saying. I don't put anything past Amy Coney Barrett, Kavanaugh, everybody watch it. And not just them, by the way, you have to watch at the lower levels too. Yes. Over the weekend, Texas Republicans tried to get, Harris County did drive-through voting. There's 117,000 votes that they wanted to just be thrown out. Like before election day, you're not gonna count those votes. And the Texas State Supreme Court said, no, that's not gonna happen, but they have another judge looking into it. And I'm looking, like literally as we're doing the show, I'm refreshing to see if there are updates on that. Journalists on the court line, as that's proceeding, the court line, the press line disconnected. So they don't know exactly what's happening. But at one point, the judge had said that there was an uphill road to Republicans trying to throw those votes out, saying they had to prove that Harris County Clerk Chris Hollins had an evil motive in allowing drive-through voting, which might be tough. Not that tough to demonstrate that the people trying to have 170,000 votes that they think is gonna go against them voided have an evil motive. What's the difference between voting from your car and getting out of your car and then voting? There's no difference, except that in this case, it's a slightly higher chance that they're Democrats that did it. So again, this is just one little case that hypothetically, if Texas does go for the Democrats, it's not gonna be that much of a blowout. 100,000 votes could be significant. And so these are all proceeding already. We don't even have to wait until Wednesday for some of these. These court cases are proceeding right now.
You know what's interesting, John, is that when the demographic shift really takes hold in this country and there are more people of color than white Americans, which will be a wonderful day, trust me, better food, etc. like the shoe will be on the other foot at some point. Like one day when Republicans are an actual minority, just not the minority they pretend to be, they'll be like, well, we need to count every ballot, you know, because we've got still some stragglers who want to vote for Tom Cotton or Tom Cotton's daughter, you know, whatever, well, whoever, Elon Musk's robot child.
And Tucker they'll Carlson. Be like,
yes, Tucker, don't, please don't. Can we not, John? This week is hard enough. Could you not say that?
We'll deal with that in a couple of years, okay?
Why do you have to? You gotta.
I'm sorry.
I'm on your show. I'm trying to be hopeful. I'm trying to offer some inspiring words, and then you say the TC.
Focus on your cat. Your cat is there.
She's right here.
Make you feel better. Let's proceed as comrades once again.
Okay, fine.
Okay.
Whatever. You ruined it.
Sorry, I did. At a Trump rally in Florida over the weekend, they transitioned from their normal chorus of locking up whoever Donald Trump doesn't like to wanting to fire people, including literally, and I'm being honest here, the only person whose approval rating has gone up after serving in the Trump administration, Dr. Fauci. Take a look.
Don't tell anybody, but let me wait till a little bit after the election, please.
Okay, so people did find out because it was being filmed. But anyway, yeah, so they want Fauci to be fired. So they do want the government to do something when it comes to the pandemic. They want the one guy who seems to take it seriously to be fired. And Trump, true alpha, says, well, I can't do it until after the election, but then I'll fire this guy who doesn't want you to die from COVID. That's cool. Huh, Francesca?
You know, John, I did a whole episode for my news comedy show, News Broke, on secession. And when I see that video, I'm like, you know what? Maybe California should be its own country. Let's just break off, okay? Build the wall between us and the rest of the country. We'll accept, obviously, asylum seekers from Michigan or wherever if you're trying to get away from these super spreaders. But like, it's mob rule. This is clan-like behavior. They want to fire the only guy who's been honest with the American people, a scientist, a doctor. Like, why? You see the spike, and now everyone knows someone who's gotten COVID or died. And I'm just like, you know what? Have Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Just take that. Like, can we sacrifice Florida? You know, it's going underwater soon anyway. No disrespect to Floridians in the chat and watching, but like, you know what I mean? Like, which part of America can just break off and be theirs? You know, just a petri dish, a COVID, you know, mask-free utopia.
They'd love that. Yeah, Fauci. They want him fired, like the guy who he doesn't want them to die.
He's trying to protect us.
There is nothing. I mean, I can say a lot, but it's not going to accomplish anything more than just saying death cult's going to death cult. That's death cults don't want the guy who says they shouldn't die for their leader. And so, yeah, I guess he's going to fire him. Maybe you never know. You never know what he says offhand, but he certainly doesn't like Fauci. I'm personally shocked that Fauci has stuck around as long as he has. Later at the rally, Trump claimed that Fauci is a nice guy, but he's been wrong a lot. Yeah, Fauci is the one who's been wrong a lot. By the way, it would be a little bit difficult at least to do that. Dr. Fauci is a longtime director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. He's a civil servant. It would be extremely difficult for the president to have him removed. Under federal law, the president does not have direct authority to fire Dr. Fauci. He could try to get one of his political appointees to do so, but Fauci would be able to appeal. Although bear in mind that in the last week, Trump signed an executive order that is going to have the effect of replacing many of these civil servants with political appointees that can be fired at will rather than based on their actual job performance. I don't know if that's about Fauci or just in general, they like the idea that all of these federal bureaucracies, they find to be sort of like obstacles to their agenda anyway. Why not just wipe them out and replace them with political appointees? But to see that chant against Fauci in Florida, where almost 17,000 people have died from COVID in Florida alone, including a relative of mine, the only thing they want from Trump on the pandemic is to get rid of the guy who's trying to get him to take it seriously.
I mean, it's a pathology. It's a mania at this point. It is a cult. And I mean, this is what the entire Republican Party has done. And by association a little bit, the Democratic Party, right? I mean, the Democratic Party and helping to create the conditions for Donald Trump in conjunction with Republicans, right? But just like, these are folks who want easy answers. They want conspiracy theories. They don't want the thing right in front of their face. They don't want a mask right in front of their face. And wow, how America has let them down almost on a just an ideological level, almost on a like definitely on an educational level, but also on a like, is there no framework for these folks to actually help to understand science, what's going on in the world? Like, it just, it's like, where did we go wrong? Yeah. I feel like I'm their mom. Like, oh my God, what did we do? Did we spoil them? Yeah, maybe we did.
So much is just, and I think everybody watching can probably agree with this. So much about this year has just been so deeply embarrassing, so deeply distressing on a level that I think we're gonna take years as individuals to really work through how failed America is as a political experiment. How much American society has failed its people in creating this group of people that refuse to think critically for even a second, that just want to run to something that's going to make them feel comfortable and make them feel like they don't have to change or evolve in any way. It's been the worst year. It just has been the worst year. But anyway, Francesca, thank you for joining us for this last day in the last days of man, perhaps. You're gonna be joining me for the election tomorrow, which I'm very excited for. You're gonna be joining us in our third hour. So everybody stay tuned for that. Francesca, in advance of that, I know you're working on other shows, other projects. Where can people see some of your last thoughts before this election?
Listen to and watch the Bituation Room podcast. It's also live on YouTube at FrannyFio and on Twitch. Watch News Broke. We're gonna be doing a live on Wednesday, the day after the election, also with John. John's gonna make an appearance.
Woo!
And Jamal Bowman and Anthony Atamanik, nice, who plays Donald Trump on the Comedy Central show, The President Show. So yeah, nice. So looking forward to this next 48 hours with you and with all everyone watching. We need each other right now.
We do. Thank you. Is there any chance, by the way, that we could see the cat before you go?
Of course.
We haven't had a pet in a while, and I think we could all use some adorable animal. As we launch into what's gonna be one of the longest days in history.
Oh my God, such an adorable kitty.
Here, let's hold her closer.
Oh,
oh my God. Yes, Lion King, that cat. She looked terrified there at the end. She's like,
she's happy.
Cute though.
We'll be okay, right, Ramona? Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you, Francesca. Have a good one.
Thank you, John.
Get at least 2 hours of sleep tonight. Promise me that.
Oh, I'm taking a nap right now.
Okay.
With this one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.